Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Recap Race Analysis here on the Cycling Day in Extra Channel, or if you're listening on Spotify. And of course, as always, I'm joined by Patrick Blake of Audio Cycling, and we continue our dissection of the Giro d'Italia. Today, stage 12. And yeah, Patrick, what exactly happened on today's stage?
It looked like the stage which is most likely to be a breakaway of the whole Giro. Too difficult for the sprinters, but too easy for the GC riders. And that's absolutely what we got. Very early on, we had a large-ish breakaway of, you know, some very big names who were the favourites for today. Guys like Quentin Hermans, Tavares, Alaphilippe, and lots of other riders in that group. But then they were joined by another subsequent group, including Piffy, Filippo Ganna, Aurelien Paletpentola, and eventually that formed a chasing group of I think it was like 30 plus riders were in that second chasing group. However, they had about as much cooperation as a university group project as people started attacking and counter-attacking. And eventually a secondary chase group formed behind Alaphilippe and Maestri. They were up the road, and behind them there was a group of nine, which included Navarez, Trentin, Valgren, Benjamin Thomas, just to name a few. And that was pretty much the status quo for a good hour or so of racing. It seemed like the gap was really just hovering somewhere between a minute to a minute and a half. The third group on the road, which included Ganna and Piffy, etc., they started shipping more and more time. Eventually, they got swallowed up by the peloton. But up ahead, it was Alaphilippe and Maestri versus this group of nine, both groups working very well together. Nobody was shirking any of their turns. Maestri was kind of given the intermediate sprints by Alaphilippe. He clearly had bigger fish to fry on this day. And we had the final climb, which is the Monte Giove, which is only 1.2 kilometers at 9%, but it had like a 20% pitch in there. And that was where Alaphilippe put in his big move. You could see that throughout the day, he was sort of dropping Maestri on the climbs, but this was really where Alaphilippe was making his move. He did attack, but I think Maestri was just suffering. So Alaphilippe goes solo over the Monte Giove. Behind, we see Valgren, actually, of all people, launching the attacks. We see Quentin Hermans, Jonathan Navarez, Velasco, all trying to follow the wheels as well. Valgren actually ended up suffering for his kind of efforts, because in the latter part of this climb, there's like another 20% pitch, which is where Quentin Hermans and Navarez decided to attack or counterattack that move. And then so we had Alaphilippe solo, followed by Hermans and Navarez, followed by Valgren and Scaroni. And that was pretty much the state of the race, with 10Ks to go off the end of that climb. And that's all that really happened, is that nothing else really happened. The GC groups remain pretty status quo as well. Bahrain did put in a move which was causing a bit of splitting in the peloton because of a cross tailwind, but nothing came of that. And nobody attacked on the climb, not even Tadej Pogačar, despite the rumours from Pataki that he is ill. I think Pogačar, you know, just is saving his bullets. So the results for today's stage is that Julian Alaphilippe takes his first Grand Tour victory since 2021. Yes, that was a long time ago, back in the Tour de France, followed by Jonathan Navarez, Quentin Hermans, Michal Valgren, Christian Scaroni, Matteo Trentin, Simon Clark, Gijs Leemreizer, Mikko Maestri. Despite spending so long off of the front, he ended up finishing in ninth. And then Benjamin Thomas, of course, a stage winner already in the Giro, he ended up in 10th place. And also, Fabio Jakobsen was a DNS today.
High-speed crash. Quite an impact on the chest. And I'm not... I'm doing well. So for everybody at home to see that it's not a really serious injury, but not good enough to continue the race. So this is where the Giro d'Italia ends for me. And really sad. But unfortunately, this is also part of cycling. And I have to go home, heal up, rest, and then focus on the next goals.
Scott, what did you think of all that? It's good to see Alaphilippe back off the front of the peloton.
Came close on the gravel stage, which it almost looked like he was going to take the win there, but Hilario Sanchez, he's one of these many riders now, over I think 109 now, that have won a stage at the Tour, the Vuelta, and the Giro, obviously this being his first Giro d'Italia. Yeah, incredible win. Julien Philippe just does the business, and good to see him back after so much heavy criticism from Patrick Lefebvre, etc., that he hasn't trained enough, all these things. And yeah, just gets a victory. And Soudal Quickstep, I think they need this as well. Tim Merlier obviously having been up there taking wins, or a win, but yeah, very, very welcome win for Soudal Quickstep. Is Julien Philippe back, or was it just you within the right break here?
I think he is kind of back, you know? I think about, imagine if he wasn't off the front with Maestri. I mean, those two were holding their ground against nine chasing riders. Alaphilippe was obviously kind of the stronger of the pairing up front. And I imagine a scenario where, say, Alaphilippe was in that group behind of nine, I think he would have been able to follow Hermans and Navarez and would certainly have contested a sprint. And, you know, maybe he would have lost to Navarez, but, you know, that's a guy who's in incredible form at the moment. So, yeah, I think Alaphilippe is back. And I think it's good to see what that means for his future. I don't know. If I were him, I mean, Patrick Lefebvre has just been so toxic this year. If I was Alaphilippe, I'd be leaving. Like, but you wouldn't want such a toxic boss, like, looming over you, would you?
Yeah, that's true. Maybe it's all happy days now because of the Giro win. Yeah, the breakaway, what did you make, or the guys behind? Navarez looking strong, Miguel Veltain, like you said as well, showing some real, well, back to his best kind of form. Of course, he's won the Omloop Het Nieuwsblad and Amstel Gold in the past. But yeah, had a bit of up and down years with injury because of a very bad crash. So yeah, is there anything they could have done to have been in the contest for the win with Navarez there as well?
I think the second group early on, like when it was a big group, made a mistake of just presuming that Alaphilippe and Maestri were going to get brought back, but it was just so disorganized and it took a long time for that move to splinter off the front, the group which ended up contesting for the top 10, that Alaphilippe and Maestri at that point had like 2.5 minutes. And I think they just took it for granted that they were going to get brought back, or like Dano was just going to go and work on the front. But the group was too big. There was too much like disorganization in that group. Nobody was chasing. It was all just ones and twos attacking each other. So I think what they needed to do was almost keep Alaphilippe and Maestri on a closer kind of tether so that they could bring him back a bit more easily. I think in terms of that group of nine, they worked really well together. I don't think they could have done much more. Yeah, it was just in the early phases of the race, people really just, I think, didn't give enough respect to Maestri and Alaphilippe because they were out there for like over 100Ks.
Yeah, very impressive. Like there was some, I thought there was going to be some GC action because we had Borhanskura towards the front of that climb. We had a bit of GC action with Bahrain Victoria's absolutely ramping the pace up and splitting the group on that quite open road, which was quite impressive. But yeah, what do you make of Pogacar, the rumors that you mentioned being ill? Is this wishful thinking by the other teams?
I went out the other day and I came back with a red nose, but that's because I forgot to put sun cream on. Doesn't mean I've got a cold, to be honest with you. It's just because somebody, I don't know, coughs in an interview and has a slightly red nose doesn't mean they're ill. I mean, maybe I could just be proven wrong. Maybe Pogacar capitulates from now on and he's just like, he is ill, and like, it's all like, oh my word, Geraint Thomas is going to win the Giro d'Italia.
Hang on, Dani Martinez.
Nah, I don't trust my, I'd have more faith in G. Also, you know what, slightly off topic, but what Pogacar said the other day, that Tiberi was the only one to have the balls to attack. He is right. Like, I don't get why people aren't giving it a little nudge, at least on that final climb. I know it might just be futile, but it also might not be. And Jascha Suttelin was up the road for Bahrain. I don't get why they didn't keep him up there in case Tiberi could attack and then get over to him and use him as like a foil to go up to. It just seems like the GC riders are all staring each other into the abyss and they're just waiting for that Livigno stage or the TT or whatever. But yeah, is Pogacar ill? I don't know. I doubt it. And even if he is, he'll probably still be better than everyone else.
Yeah, I can write him like this if I was ill. Yeah, who knows? Speculation. We love it and hate it at the same time. But anyways, that's basically it for this recap race analysis of Stage 12. Make sure to hit the like button, subscribe to the channel to stay up to date with all the Giro d'Italia coverage. And if you want to see how Patrick's dealing with his Velo Games team, check out our new cycling. And we also have the Echelon Cycling Podcast as well, if you want to see more Patrick. But with that, thank you very much for watching, and we will see you tomorrow.